Okay. You want a funny story? I mean, all your stories are funny.
See, I don't feel like my stories are gonna top your stories, so. Top your stories, but, like, be comparable.
All right, well, tell me one of your stories. You got good stories.
I know I don't got a story right now. I'm too tired.
I'm gonna try to
bait you in your story, so you start.
Alright. So which story do you want me to tell you?
Well, you said that when you first got the internet was pretty funny.
Oh no. When we first got the internet. Now here's the thing about that, see? Alright. So when the internet first became the internet, it wasn't the internet that everyone knows and loves now. You remember you used to get those discs from AOL in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? Uh-huh. And there was another company, a competing company called Prodigy.
Yes, I remember Prodigy. Now, they would just randomly send you discs in the mail, too, right?
Yep. Or you buy a magazine, and there's one stuck in the middle of it.
Right.
Or a comic book, or, you know, a throng of bananas, and there's an old AOL desk struck right there. Loaf of Miss Barrett's bread, and there's a Prodigy desk right between the third and 17th slices. Yeah, I just put them right in. Bucket of ice creams, dig to the bottom. They were putting them everywhere. I tell you, that CD-ROM was a new invention. Now, my dad tried to play a CD on a record player. That didn't work out. That was a different story. Because he wanted a Coca-Cola 12-pack. He thought it was a little record. Well, that didn't play very good, did it? In any case, we're talking about the internet. We're not talking about little CDs. Now, that CD out of that 12-pack, well, I'm still talking about that, though. That CD out of that was about as big around as a coaster. A little tiny. It had Firehouse on it.
Oh. Yeah.
And it was like a single of a CD. It was small. It was like a coaster. And apparently those are collector's items. Now they're like $200 a piece. Well, I threw it in here and shot it with a 20-gauge shotgun. Anyway, that's a different story. So, because we didn't have a CD player, you know, because we're Amish or something. Anyway.
Or something. Confusing.
Okay. All right. So, we're not talking about the shakers. We already covered that. All right.
We did cover the shakers. Yes. Okay.
And we don't want to rip on the Amish. They're still around. So, it sense that they might be lit. Actually, they could. If you're Amish and you're listening, shame on you. All right.
No, we don't shame people.
No, they're not supposed to use electronics.
Oh.
So how are they going to listen?
But still.
A gramophone. Are we releasing this on gramophone?
Ooh.
On the wax rolls.
A whole new market.
Yeah. A big market.
Player pianos and everything. Okay.
Anyway, there I was.
There I was.
Little Chubber.
Little Chubber with an AOL CD.
Oh, rock. Well, I wasn't that little. I was 15. Okay.
So adolescent Chubber.
Huh?
Adolescent Chubber.
Yeah. Well, something like that. Anyway.
See, that's how you do it.
There I was, right? There I was.
There you are.
Sitting on the brown shag carpet with the wagon-wheeled yellow and brown linoleum. With the basket woven ceiling fan from my parents' house.
All right.
You know that basket woven ceiling fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my father, he's an electrical engineer for Texas Instruments, right? Big calculator company. Actually, they make a lot of stuff, but I always call it the calculator company just to make a mad. Yeah. So he gets to bring home a computer. An IBM compatible from work. Now, it's not an IBM, but it's compatible.
It's compatible.
Whatever the crap that means.
Okay.
It had something to do with cows. Gateway or something. Anyway. He brings it home. He gets to bring it home from work, right? It's supposed to be his work computer. Well, you think me and my brothers are letting that get out? There's a computer in the house now.
Yeah.
We don't even have a color television, for crying out loud, against South American America, but there's a freaking computer over there. We're going to play with that son of a gun, aren't we? All right, so Texas Instruments. It's all our guys signed up for Prodigy. So we have Prodigy on that computer. It was all the old dial-up, you remember that?
Yeah.
And like, if anybody picked up the phone,
it cut your it cut your connection.
Back at that time, there was no pictures on the internet. Or actually, the internet was just whatever Prodigy had. So I was able to talk to other engineers on there and bulletin boards and whatnot. Also, I would go boxing, right? I was a boxer. Yeah, I was.
I know. Yes, you were a boxer.
Yeah, I'd go box. And then I'd come home and dehydrated and punch drunk because I wasn't a very good boxer. I hit a lot. And so I'd come home, a little froggy in the brain, and I'd spark up old Sparky, the compact computer, hit on old Prodigy there, and see if there's any supposed girls to talk to, you know, or whatever. And it was pretty lame. I had a buddy who was really, let me tell you about JT. Now, JT, Jeffrey Turlington. Now, that poor son of a gun, I tell you, he lived around the block from me.
Okay.
And he had an older brother named Chris. And his brother Chris was kind of a bully. And if he touched any of his toys or any of his comics or any of his nitty mags or whatever, the old JT just gets socked. Now, JT's mom, she was a really good-looking lady, but she liked going to the honky-tonk, so she went over there whenever JT got socked. So JT, he got a computer. His dad, didn't live there, but they were divorced, but his dad made computers. He built computers. Now, JT racked up, in 1 month, $189 now.
That was a lot back then.
On emails, because they would charge you by the email.
Right.
You got so many a month free. A lot of kids thought it's unimaginable. They got so many free. I think maybe you got 20, 30 free, and then they started charging. He racked up $189 in emails, and so JT wanted to come over and use my dad's computer. Right. All right. So JT comes over and he figures out we got Prodigy on this thing. Not AOL, that was computing. That was a little bastard AOL.
Right.
He comes over and he says, "Hey, you got Prodigy on here. You're on the worldwide, you're surfing the web, son. You're on the world wide web. You can talk to all these people, do all these things."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The whole world's open to you. Right? So, I come home froggy from getting punched in the head, a little dehydrated. I sat down to my dad's computer, beep, bop, boop, mashed some buttons, and I say, "Hey, this guy I knew in Scouts, his name was Shane. Now, let me tell you about this guy."
This guy is
Shane Ricks, and he was mental. He was a nut, but I didn't know that. I just thought he was cool because he's older than me, but he read a lot of fantasy novels, and he thought he was an elf.
Oh.
Yep. He thought he was a little shorter for an older guy.
Okay.
And then later, he decided he was a vampire and got arrested for biting people. Anyway, he was already kicked out by that time. But anyway, he was telling me, read these books by this guy, Terry Brooks. Yeah. He wrote Magic Kingdom for Sale Sold and the Shannara series, and actually wrote the novel version of The Phantom Menace, the Star Wars thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's just some dirty guy.
All
right. Sorry, Red. This guy, Shane Rex, I thought was cool because he was older than me, but he was just a big old psycho. Anyway, he told me to read this Terry Brooks book, so I read this Terry Brooks book. That's how I went on there and smashed the buttons on the old compact, the old Gateway, the old Cowbone.
The IBM compatible.
Yeah, the IBM compatible. Now, here's the thing about that. Now, you ever know what that means?
It means it's set up with the same circuitry that you could put on an IBM, you could put on that computer.
Okay.
That's all that means.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't mean it's going to act like an IBM. It doesn't mean the buttons are in the same place. It doesn't mean it can even...
Was it the QWERTY keyboard?
Well, yeah, I was... yeah. Because I went to typing class. Hey, let me tell you about typing class real quick. So... Now,
did you have the typewriters with their little round balls?
Well, no, this was a word processor, right?
Oh,
so,
wow.
So it was, now see, I was used to a certain way of getting through classes.
I'm sure you were.
Right, which basically be to kind of cheat off the guy to the left of me or the girl to the right of me. You know? Now, one class you can't really do that in is typing. Right? Because right. You try to look at what they're already past that. You can't cheat off anybody in typing.
Okay.
I think I had a 27 average in typing when I dropped out of it. And there was correction tape all over my pants, my hair. Anyway, Mr. Fabian, let me tell you, he was the instructor. Now, mind you, he had been in a massive car wreck, and some people said possibly a Vietnam War veteran that exploded.
Oh.
Burned on fire. But he wore the most obvious toupee there was ever seen to be a toupee.
I mean, if you're going to wear a toupee, you might as well just be obvious about it.
And he was the typing class instructor.
Well,
and he told me...
This does not sound good.
He told me he would always call the kids Mr. and then their last name.
Okay.
And so he said... He didn't call me a little Trevor. He said, Mr. Martell... You will never make any money in college typing paper for other students. That's what he always motivated. So you can make a lot of money in college typing paper for other students. Now I'll tell you, he turned out to be absolutely correct. By the time I got to college, nobody was typing somebody else's paper. So he was completely right about that. I think it was wrong about the toupee. Anyway, so I failed out of his. I got out with the 27 average. Same I did in pre-out. Anyway, so go back to the computer.
Back to the computer.
Right. So I know the QWERTY. I knew how to type a little bit.
Okay. You
know, from that class, Mr. Fabian.
Okay.
Right. And so JT from around the block with a good-looking mother likes to go to the honky-tonks with his bully brother Chris that punches him all the time in the head. He comes over and he figures out we got Prodigy on my dad's compact gateway cowbone computer. All right. So I get on that compact gateway cowbone computer. And there I am on Prodigy. I don't know what I'm doing. It's bulletin boards. What's a bulletin board? Well, it's a topic. And then people can talk about it underneath it. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
And so... I'm reading this book, this crazy elf guy, the vampire biting person, Shane Ricks. His dad's a cameraman now. He works in San Angelo. He filmed RoboCop, this guy's dad. He got in trouble for joyriding his dad. I went with him. I didn't know. Anyway, so that's off topic. And so I get on there, I read this guy's book. This Terry Brooks dude, he writes these books about elves and wizards and stuff, you know, like Tolkien.
Right.
But not his biggest Tolkien.
Right.
Because, well, I mean, maybe he's taller than Tolkien, but I mean, not as famous as Tolkien.
Right. Tolkien's pretty famous.
Yeah. So, get on there. I typed in Terry Brooks. That's the book laying there. Yeah, there's this bulletin board. All these guys talking about Terry Brooks and his books and how awesome they are. And I start clicking around up at the top, and, you know, there's your username and your email box and all this stuff. So I click on the username, my dad's username, Michael Martell. That's my dad, Mike Martell at TI, Prodigy, whatever. And I said, I can change this. I can just change it to Terry Brooks at Prodigy, blah, blah, blah. Let's change the username to Terry Brooks. No security checks, no passwords, nothing. Let's change it to Terry Brooks. And then I go onto that bulletin board and I tell you. Now, what do you think I did when I got to that bulletin board?
Oh.
So I get to that bulletin board. I go in there, start typing. Say, oh, wow. This is incredible. I never knew I have my own bulletin board at Prodigy. It's fantastic. I'm so flattered. Right? And my username now says Terry Brooks. Right?
Okay.
And all these guys start responding, oh my gosh, Terry Brooks actually showed up during the bulletin board. And they're like, hero worship and blah, blah. All right. So that's funny for a minute. For a minute.
For a minute.
Then the next day comes. Right. Now, back then, you could actually fill up an email box with 35 emails. Right. That was cool. There was guys sending transcripts of stories they were trying to write, stuff like that. Here I am, not so little chubber, 15 years old. I scanned their transcripts, and I was like, you need to work on your word imagery. This is kind of cliche. This is a story that's already been told. Try to come up with something original, and I emailed that guy. And then I email another guy. It's like, this seems really good. Just go ahead and send that to Westinghouse Publishing. It'll draws me out nicely. And then another guy would be like, you know, I feel like that you're forcing the story. You're not letting the characters develop naturally, blah, blah, blah. You know, you need to introduce the characters and let them develop instead of trying to force them into their typecast that you want to be. Let them play out. So I'm sending actually pretty good advice for a 15-year-old.
Well,
the guys that are sending manuscripts to me, but they think I'm a published author. They think I'm Terry Brooks.
Yeah. Right?
Okay. So this goes on a while. Finally, somebody figures out that somebody in that bulletin board. I don't know what my dad's doing. He doesn't realize his username's been changed to Terry Brooks. He's just responding to messages from T.I. and they're sending to him. I don't even care that his name's not Mike Martell anymore. It's Terry Brooks. That didn't matter somehow. And so finally, somebody on that bulletin board goes, wait, I looked up an old thing, and this user account used to be Mike Martell, and now it's Terry Brooks. How can that be? And I was like, oh, well, I had to be undercover, you know, for legal reasons. Because the lawyers and such. And they're kind of like, okay. And so that worked for a couple days. And I'm like, no, wait. We found the real Terry Brooks. He's over there. He doesn't talk to us. You're a fake, whoever you are.
You're a fake Terry Brooks.
Yeah. And what these guys, what did they do? What do you think they do?
They emailed you.
Oh, they emailed me. They decided to have a court case. Like, they made one guy in the chat room, he's going to be the judge, another guy is going to be the prosecutor, and another guy is going to be the defense attorney. And I basically just...
Because they're just a bunch of nerds.
...hammered out a whole bunch of F yourself, and you're all idiots, and all your manuscripts were garbage. You're never going to be successful. You suck at life. I got punched in the head and responded to all of you. Right? Well, they didn't take that nicely.
No. Oh, really?
I wouldn't even found this thing and one from my nerdy buddy JT who already overran his Prodigy account because his mom's honky-tonking all the time and his brother's a bully. But now I'm here. So what you going to do? What do? They ban us from the internet.
Uh-oh.
They talk to Prodigy. The people that actually ran Prodigy said, this guy's fake. He's not Terry Brooks. And we were literally kicked off the internet. Now, see, my dad being an electrical engineer, that was a big problem.
Yes.
Got completely kicked off the early version of the internet for 3 months. He didn't even know what to do. He didn't know how to ground me or beat me or what to do because... nothing he did was going to get the internet back. That's how we ended up on AOL.
That's the punchline. That's how we ended up on AOL.